Okay, so with all that introduction, so let's get started here in Kutzai, or continued here in Simon Kutzai Nichas. So again, we're discussing Chatzitza, so I want to talk about today a little bit about Beis HaStarim and the status of Beis HaStarim, because as we know, as we've pointed out, there are three basic zones on the human body as far as Tevila is concerned. There's what's Begalui, that which is exposed to the atmosphere, person's arms, legs, torso, back, head, whatever's exposed to the atmosphere, and those parts of the body, it's a davar pashut, that you can't have any chatzitza in those parts of the body, and you need water to hit every part of those parts of the body. Then there's the opposite, there's that which is balua, that which is totally inside the body, which is like your internal organs, your stomach, your kidneys, your liver, whatever, right? Whatever's inside the internal organs, where you're even allowed to have a chatzitza. Let's say a person has food in their stomach, or let's say, I know a couple of people, actually, strangely, that have bullets lodged inside their body somewhere that just couldn't be removed. It was too dangerous to remove, so they're walking around with bullets inside. They have all sorts of problems with metal detectors, the Air Force, so they have bullets inside their body. So would they be allowed, none of them are women, actually, but would they be allowed to be tovel, or let's say they take men's tefila very seriously, that they even go in a hat mikvah on Shabbos or something. So would they be allowed to be tovel with the bullet balua inside their body? So Pashtus says yes. Of course, yes, because that's balua. It's totally inside. It's completely. It's something that's never exposed to the atmosphere. And then there's today's discussion, which is the Beis HaStarim. The Beis HaStarim is defined as that which is sometimes revealed and sometimes not revealed. Your eyes are a Beis HaStarim, because when you open up your eyes are exposed to the atmosphere. You close your eyes, and are exposed to the atmosphere. Your eyelids are the opposite, right? When you open up your eyes, they're not exposed. You close your eyes, they are exposed. The inside of your mouth, your armpits, things like that are considered, between the toes, things like that are considered to be a Beis HaStarim. So what is the halacha of a Beis HaStarim? So the Gemara in Kiddushin on Daf Chaf Hei Amud Aleph reads as follows. V'ha'amar Rav in Amar Avada Amar Rav Yitzchak Maisa B'shivcha Shal Beis Rebbe Shetavla V'olsa V'nimtza Etzem Beit Shineha. Now Shivcha Shal Beis Rebbe went to the mikveh, came out of the mikveh, and then found a chatzitza in between her teeth. She didn't floss well. She found a chatzitza between her teeth. The Hitzricha Rebbe Tvila Acheres. And Rebbe said she needs another Tvila because of the Chatzitza Bein Shineha. So says the Gemara, so the Gemara is asking, how can you say you don't need Bias Mayim in Beis HaStarim? You see clearly that a Chatzitza in Beis HaStarim was a problem, apparently, because you need Bias Mayim in Beis HaStarim. So it says Gemara, no. Nihid the Bias Mayim will be inon. Makom haroi lovabo mayim biinon. Granted, you don't need actual bias mayim in Beis HaStarim, but the Beis HaStarim at least needs to be roi the bias mayim. You can't have any chatzitzas in the Beis HaStarim, so you don't need actual water to go in the Beis HaStarim. You just need it to be that water. If you were to open your mouth, there wouldn't be anything getting in the way of the water hitting all your teeth and your cheeks and your tongue and every part of the inside of your mouth. That there should be no chatzitza inside of the mouth. But not that you actually need to open up your mouth in the mikvah. That would be crazy. It sounds dangerous to do something like that. And the Gemara compares this, Kidder Rebbe Zeira, Dabber Rebbe Zeira, Kol Roi Labila, and Bila Makefes Bo, V'Shein Roi Labila, Bila Makefes Bo. Just like we have Blila by Karm Mincha, where the halacha is that you need a ratio of flour to oil, where Blila is possible, but you don't need to actually do the Blila. The Blila is not something that is ma'akev the carbon. If you don't actually mix the flour and the oil, the carbon is still kosher. Even though over there, the Chachila is supposed to do the Blila. You're actually supposed to actually do the blila, but if you don't do the blila, then it's still going to be kosher. So you see that as long as it's wrong, but if you have the wrong ratio, where there's not even enough oil to moisten all of the flour that you have, it's not going to do the trick. It's not really going to moisten all the flour. Then it's no good. Then it's not even roi labila. So bila is ma'akev in such a case when it's not even roi labila. So Gemara is making the comparison. The same is true by a Beis HaStarim. You don't need actual bias mayim, but it needs to be roi labias mayim, where if it were to happen, it would work. But if you have a chatzitza inside your mouth or another Beis HaStarim, then even if you were to try to do it, it wouldn't work, and that's called Ein Ra'i Lebilo, or Ein Ra'i Lebias Mayim. So that's the Gemara's comparison. Remember, when we learned Kiddushin and Rav Shachter's year, he discussed what the svara is of Kol Arei Lubila and Vilna Makevus. But it seems to be Machlokas Rishonim and Achronim about whether it's a din. I think it's Rashbam that writes that that it's simply the ingredients aren't the right ingredients. Meaning, for carbon, you have to have the right animal, for example. And if you bring oil as part of the carbon, you have to have the right amount of oil. So if it's eino ra'i lebila, so then it's just not the right ingredients. You just don't have the right amounts of things that you're supposed to have because you have the wrong proportion of flour to oil. So it's just not. It's like bringing a. It's like bringing an oaf when you need a behema. It's like bringing a behema when you need a mincha. It's just the wrong thing. You're just bringing the wrong... Or that, I think, quoted Shagas Aryeh that says that when you actually do the blila, so the blila is the mitzvah min amuvchar. That's the mitzvah of chachila to actually do the blila. When you don't do the blila, but it's royal blila, so then it's a mitzvah shalom min amuvchar. You're doing the mitzvah, it's just not ideal. When it's not even royal abila, it's so far shalom in amuvchar. Remember, Rav Shachter used the expression, it's like the mitzvah dies of malnutrition. That it's so beyond min amuvchar that there's nothing left to the mitzvah, that it falls apart because you're such a distance away from the mitzvah min amuvchar. So he suggested that l'chora, if tevil is only a matir and it's not a mitzvah, it's a bikasha. What does the Gemara mean? If the whole idea is about mitzvah min amuvchar, mitzvah shalom min amuvchar, how does that apply to a matir? A matir is either matir or it's not matir. There's no such thing of mitzvah min amuvchar and l'chachila when it comes to a matir. When it comes to a mitzvah, you have such a thing of a mitzvah min amuvchar of a l'chachila. Okay, but we can get into the lamdas and how that would fit the other hesber of not being the right ingredients. How does that fit when it comes to tevila? Okay, for whatever reason, the Gemara makes this comparison between Rabbi Zeira, Kol Arei Lebila, and a tevila. So here's the question: is the din based on starting? That you can't have a chatzitza based on starting, is that a din midaraisa or is that a din midarabanan? Does that possible midaraisa or midarabanan? So a woman comes back from the mikveh and she finds that she had a chatzitza in the base of starting. So does that ruin her tevila on a daraisa level or a darabanan level? So this seems to be a machlokes rishonim. Tosos on the spot, al atar, kiddushin chafei amud beis, umiyu kasha, my time with dorotu. What's this idea of ra'ui? It says, generally we have a din by kachim. It's a klal by kachim that doesn't apply elsewhere in halacha. Right? Different areas of halacha have different klalim. That we have a klal by kachim that there's a din called shana lavakasav la'akev. That if the Torah says something twice, then you know it's ma'akev. And if it doesn't say something twice, then it's not ma'akev. So it says, let's understand. We're talking about a carbon mincha over here, with flour and with oil. So my time at derotli. Ishana hakasav belila la'akev liboy belila mamish. If it says belila multiple times, then you need to do belila. Then it actually is ma'akev. Don't tell me that it's not ma'akev. Ve'ilo shana, and if it doesn't repeat it, it only says belila once, then I feel a royal libay. Then why do you need to be royal libila? Meaning, whenever the Torah says something once with regard to kachim, it's not ma'akev at all. So how can you say royal libila is ma'akev? Royal libila is not ma'akev if it's not shana lav hakasav. And if it is shana lav hakasav, it's ma'akev all across the board. So that's tosis kashus. That's tosis v'yesh lomer devade shana hakasav belula kama pa'amim avalokas b'loshon sivoy ubelila mashma da'asash minu lobin elu ra'ui. That the Torah does mention Belila many, many times. It just doesn't say Belashon Tzivui. It doesn't say you must do it. You have to do Belila. So since it's not Belashon Tzivui, we learn that there is some element of it that's Ma'akev, but it's not fully Ma'akev. Because the Torah does repeat it, so that's enough to make it Ma'akev by Kachim, but it's not fully Ma'akev because it never says a Belashon Tzivui. Which, again, is interesting. And therefore, how does that translate over into Tevila? What does Tevila have to do with Kachim? What does Tevila have to do with Shana Lavakev? I mean, if that's the basis of the Limud by Belila, that's not really transferable over to Tevila, but that's not our issue right now. Here, Tosa says the next line, Vim Tom, B'Tevila Minolan Tevina Ra'i. Where do I know by Tevila that you need Ra'i, L'Bias Mayim? V'yesh lomer. So he says it has to be a different limud, right? It can't be from just that we learn from Blila that it's like a, you know, like a memetzina, like a binyanav that you can learn from Blila, because these are different areas of halacha with different klalim. So he says v'yesh lomer mishum tuchsiv v'rachat es kol besarov de mashma filu beis hastarim uksiv v'yadav v'darshin and my yadav me'avrai af kol me'avrai. That it says Rachatz is kol besaro. Kol besaro, the riboy of kol, implies that you need to wash even the base of starin. But yet it also says v'yadav, and yadav is me'avrai, is on the outside of the body. So we learn from there you only need to wash the outside of the body. Umatim base of starin, to exclude base of starin, v'kol makom, given dika kol, to marabina filu base of starin, ikal neymar l'kol apachos l'hachim arbi, to be in a royal, be as mayim. So it's also because you have essentially, you have a pasuk that says chol that implies beis hastarim needs to be part of the tevila, and then you have the yadav which implies that beis hastarim does not need to be part of the tevila. So what's the halacha when you have shnei ksuvim mamachishim zeh? You say it every morning. As you have a kasuv shlishi v'achriya b'nei, there's only one little problem with that. What if there is no kasuv shlishi? Meaning we can't make our own pasuk. They're not making psukim anymore. Right, so if you go, you look through the whole Torah and you don't find the third pasuk to be machriya. So what do? You have a stira between two pasukim, a stira between two drashos. So you have to figure it out. Right, there's that famous line of Rav Yosef Engel of Shafel, like someone from Rav Yosef Engel that's the machlokas that you have in Maseches Beitzah and Maseches Pesachim about whether yantif needs to be chatzi lachem chatzi lashem, or that you have the option of okula lachem okula lashem. Why? Because you have one pasuk that says that it's supposed to be lachem, and you have another pasuk that says it's supposed to be la'ashem. So Rav Yosef Engel says, the Gemara is arguing, what are you doing? You have shnei ksuvim machishim zeh, and you have no way to be machriya, because you don't have a kasuv shlishi to be machriya b'neihem. So one opinion in Tanayim is, oh, what do you do? It means the Torah is giving you options that you get to choose. I choose this pasuk, or I choose that pasuk. O kulo lachem, o kulo lashem. Or the other possibility is that the Torah is telling you, split the difference. Meaning, if you have to somehow accommodate both psukim, if it's shnei ksuvim machishim zeh, and you're on the kasuv shlishi to be machriya, so make both psukim work somehow. How do you make both psukim work? So in our case, so in the case over there with what you should be doing on Yantar, we say chatzi lachem and chatzi lashem. So you split the day. You daven and then you eat, and you daven and then you eat, and you daven and then you eat. Okay, so you split it, you split your time that way. But in our case, says Tosos, very simple. You have a pasuk that tells me that I'm supposed to have tevila on the base of starim. A pasuk that tells me I don't need to have tevila on the base of starim. Very simple solution. That you need roughly the bias mayim in the base of starim. So the base of starim matters, but it doesn't matter completely. You don't need actual bias mayim in the base of starim. And that's the limud. But what was our question? Our question was, is the din of base of starim d'arais or d'rabbana? So new from Tosos? Clearly d'arais, right? He's playing with psukim. He's not playing. He's dealing with psukim and trying to show how we derive from the psukim this din, because it can't be, even though the Gemara makes the conceptual comparison to Rabbi Zeira about Belila, it's not based on the same yesod, because by Belila, it's a din kachim and shanalav because of la'akiv. You can't carry that over to here. So it must be based on some other pasuk. And he finds the pasuk. The whole conversation, from the question to the answer, the whole thing is all on a daraisa level, the way Tosus understands. Comes along the Ritva in Kiddushin, Chafei Amral, same place. Makom Aroi Lava Mayim Veinan, and he quotes his Rebbe that Midrabanan Bialma, that this is only a din Midrabanan Bialma. Holul in Yutuma Dino Kigoloi Min Hatora, Shavur Rabbanan in Tara Nami Kigoloi. Interesting idea. He says, you know, there is a din that Tuma Bibalua is not Mitame. Right? Let's say you have something balua inside of your body. Let's say you swallow something, and then you go into a beis hakvaros, and then the thing comes out. So is that thing after you leave the beis hakvaros, the thing comes out of your body? So is that considered to be tamei now because it was in the beis hakvaros, right? So the halacha is tumah bebalua. It's not mitamei. Whether there's or let's say you swallow a kazayis min hameis. That's a little gross. Okay, but let's assume like a person swallows a kazayis min hameis. It's mitamei. Right, but then he goes into an OL with somebody else, or, so it's not matami anything else because it's balua. It's completely inside of his body. So in both directions, it can't become tami bibalua, can't transmit to a bibalua. Right? That's the way it works, right? That's the big question that that they deal with in terms of a pregnant woman going into a cemetery. And now, besides for the heebie-jeebie stuff, as pregnant, you know, about pregnant women not going to cemeteries or whatever Kabbalistic reasons we're concerned about. But let's say, like, from a halachic perspective, an Ashes Kohen. Is an Ashes Kohen allowed to go into a hospital or a cemetery if she's pregnant? Right? And let's say she knows there's a boy inside. She already did a sonogram and she knows that there's a boy. So is she allowed to go into the cemetery? So Mi'ikar Adin, L'chora, it should be that it's fine. It's Balbala. Nothing's happening. So they asked the Kasha, I think that's the Magen Avraham, because from the Rokeach, that it's a Sfek Sveik. The reason Ashes Kohen is allowed is because it's a Sfek Sveik. Maybe it will be a Nefel, and even if it's a Bar Kayama, maybe it's not a boy. There's a big difference whether you say the svara is that it's tuma bebalua and therefore there's no problem versus you say a svek sveka, because nowadays we can take away one of those svekas, right, by doing a sonogram and you know whether it's a boy or a girl. So it's a big, Rav Shachter has a piece in Big Fat Song to try to explain why you need svek sveka, why not just say tuma bebalua. He has this yisod from Rav Chaim Eisen, Rav Elchanan and others that the isra of tumas kohanim is not a din in tuma. It's a din in Hiskarvus Lameis. That's this whole discussion of Kohanim going in airplanes. You know this discussion? Kohanim going in airplanes over a cemetery. That, you know, maybe Midine Tumah V'Tahara, it's Haka Yizmetame, but it might not be a problem for a Kohen because it's not Hiskarvus Lameis. He's nowhere near the mace. That's what explains the din of a Kohen not being near a Goseis, because that is Hiskarvus Lameis, even though the guy's not dead yet. But it's so close to death that it's like a din of the Scarbus and Mesa, Lebedik piece. You should take a look in Big Fat Son. Very, very nice piece. But yeah, anyway, the Ritva is referring to that din. He says, why would the Rabbanan come up with this idea that Beis Hastarim can't have a chatzitza? Because in Beis Hastarim there could be Tumah. Meaning Tumah can transmit inside your mouth. You put something Tumah in your mouth, and not straight down your throat, but on your tongue. So that's Matane. So there's tumah in Beis Hastarim. Tumah is transmitted in the Beis Hastarim. Oh, so since you could be metame in Beis Hastarim, it makes sense that whatever is metaher, namely a mikvah, should also have to deal with the Beis Hastarim on a derabbanon level, right? Derabbanon mi derabbanon bi'alma. Holding in tumah dinu kigali min ha-Torah shavira rabbanon l'nitar enami kigali. But you don't actually need the water to hit those parts because really the din is that it doesn't really matter. Meaning on a daraisa level, we know that it's only on things that are me'avroi and not mikavai. So he explicitly holds that it's terabbanon. And there only goes that he can't have chatzitza in the Beis Hastarim when tovling, because tumah can be transmitted in the Beis Hastarim.
In the Tosafos in Yidah, when he's discussing the similar idea, he says that he says Svarahu, like before introducing the two psukim, Yah and Yah's time. So is it necessarily true that if you're like using Svaros and psukim together, if it's always a Deoraisa? Like when he said that, it's like when you're playing with psukim, or when you're dealing with psukim, it's always a Deoraisa.
So certainly the way Tosfos in Kiddushin presents it, Svara is very often a Din Deoraisa, right? It depends how strong the Svara is. But Svara is very often a Din Deoraisa, right? One could argue that Kal V'Chomer is just a very fancy way of saying svara. Svara chazaka. Because kal v'chomer is a very strong kind of svara. But svara very often is the Gemara is an expression, lama likra, svara. Right? Ibai seva kra, ibai seva svara. Right? Could be that that svara also is a mechayev on a daraisa level. So that doesn't make it, doesn't swing it in the other direction. And at the end of the day, if he's using psukim, he's explaining that din. He's using psukim, even though there's some dose of svara in there, it would still make a daraisa.
The fact that it's unclear based on the psukim that implying remachmer and just the darabanan, but based on something we can't be mavara.
Oh, yeah, that's what you think he's saying?
I don't know.
I thought he's saying that since you have shneks of mamachishim zeh, so you have to accommodate both, like chatzi lechem, chatzi l'shem. So here we accommodate both by saying that the Beis Hastarim matters, but not as much as but you don't need actual bias mayim.
Yeah, so everything maybe could also be that they map with their run because we don't know though.
I hear what you're saying, that but what does that mean? That the Torah didn't leave us any way to be machria? That's hard to say. And then it would be something daraisa. How would we? So we choose to be machria by splitting the baby. That's hard to imagine. The Ramban in also Kiddushin over there, Nihida bias mayim lo bayim, makom royal bias mayim bina, kid Rabbi Zeira, ikal ameitak. Bishlama bid Rabbi Zeira, royal bila bina dechsev balula. Alach minali klal debina royal lava bamayim. He says, I don't understand. There's a pasuk by Belila. There's a pasuk by Karba Milcha. Where's your pasuk over here? Vigesh mefarshim royal lava bamayim bina midrabanon. Shafal pishlo, tzvich chamshay tzarech lava bamayim, tzvich hashay royal lakach. That the parallel that it's drawing, says Ramban explicitly, the parallel that we're drawing to Karban Mincha is just conceptual. That conceptually you have this idea that sometimes something is required only to be ra'ui, but it doesn't require it to actually happen. But whereas by Karban Mincha it's on a d'oraisa level, over here it's clearly only on a d'rabbanan level. He says it's just like a kishayim, we're using the model of Blila. And v'tikun rabbanan ken d'oraisa, that we use the same conceptual models to describe dinim d'rabbanan and to form dinim d'rabbanan that we use for dinim d'oraisa. Right, very mistader that that's the way it works. The efshar the whole matzina linyan tuma shehu galui aflin tevila galui yishitzar kshay roi lava b'mayim. Then he says what the Ritva says. Right, so he also very clearly that's rabbanan. So here's the kasha that the Akronim deal with. You have this discussion whether it's a chatzitza mid'oraisa or a chatzitza mid'rabbanan or it's a chatzitza based story. It's not Vizkasha. What do we know? The basics of Chatzitza. Something is only Chatzitza Midaraisa if it's what and what? Ruba Omakbid. How big is this person's mouth? Right? Meaning, Besa Starin, it's going to be Rubo? You're going to tell me that there's a possibility that it's a Chatzitza Midaraisa in the Besa Starin? The Besa Starin is never going to be Rove of the body. You take all the basis stardoms on his body together, the inside of his mouth, the lower part of his nose, maybe some part of his ear, his eyes, in between his toes, maybe somewhere deep in the armpit. Okay, all those together. Unless he's a very severely disproportionately, whatever. You can't even draw a picture of such a person. Right? What does that mean? That's going to be rove? That's a rove of the body? How's that even shaykh? How's that possible? So that's the kasha, the achronim. So by definition, it's always going to be a meal. So if you look in the Shirei Tara, which is the Sidrei Tara on Chatzitza Tevila, he just changed his name, he's hiding under a different title. So if you look in the Shirei Tara, he deals with this, and he quotes others that deal with this. He writes, Midei Avri Ayin Iyuni Re'isi B'Sefer Shut Zichron Yosef. Quotes the Zichron Yosef. Zor Mashallah Yitachnu Be'enai. He shows his hand right at the start. He says, there's a Shut Zichron Yosef that is impossible to believe and is wrong, before he even tells you what it is. Normally, that's not fair, right? I mean, you're supposed to quote it, make a case, and then you're supposed to pull it apart, right? But he says, he can't. He can't quote the Zichron Yosef without telling you that it's wrong. He says, Zel Shon B'chel Yardei Asim Niyot. V'dikdek. De'ech Marvina Mikol B'son B'es HaStorm Shiruyin L'B'yas Mayim. V'chigari B'es HaStorm D'lo Avya Afilo Alidei Tzirufam Yachan Rak Miyut Aguf. You put them all together, it's still a miyut. The kaibalon milchsa the dafka ruba makbid of chatzitz v'lo miyut a makbid. A miyut is never going to be a chatzitza on the d'oraisa level. So asks the Zichron Yosef. So comes along the Zichron Yosef. It's hard to even understand what his answer is, but here's what he says. He quotes the exact lashon of the Zichron Yosef. Achein nirali loma deroi lebias mayim luchud v'chatzitza luchud. Saying, when do we have a din of rov? That's in dine chatzitza. Roi l'bias mayim is not a din in dine chatzitza. It's a separate din called roi l'bias mayim. And if you don't have roi l'bias mayim in a base of starim, even though it's only a miyut, it's going to ruin the tefillah on the d'oraisa level. Which is a crazy chiddush. Because what would that mean? That if you have, let's say, you have stitches on the outside of your body. Let's say a person cut their finger or something. So they have stitches on their finger. So it's a miyut hamakbid. Let's say the wound has already healed. We'll get to stitches and whether there's room to be made. It's the context of the Zichron Yosef. But let's say the wound is already healed and the stitches aren't really needed anymore, but you just haven't gone to the doctor to take them off yet. So here you have a miyut hamakbid. Is that a chatzitza midaraisa or midraban? Midrabanan, it's meals, right? Let's say he had dental work. She had dental work. what do they call it? Oral surgery, right? So she had her wisdom teeth removed or something like that. Well, let's do something even closer to the front of the mouth, right? She had something that's definitely not balua, wisdom teeth, sometimes maybe far enough back that it's borderline balua. But let's say something closer to the front of the mouth, where it's basastar mamish, and she has stitches there. And she goes to the mikvah with that, daraisa. Because that's not royal lubias mouth. Is that what he's saying? I mean, that's the impression you get when you start reading the Zichron Yosef. So we're going to be more machmir on something inside the mouth than we will on that very same thing on the outside of the body. The whole point of the base of starim is that it's supposed to be more kal than revealed parts of the body. So he needs to explain himself, right? Because just the way you read it at first, it can't be. He says, "Devade hatam de rubo sheina machmir umiyuta machmir sheina chotzitz min haTorah." Mishum da also davar achotzeitz kivan de eno rubo o de eno makbid olav mechshav kagufo besorah mamish. Says, you know how chatzitza works, how the dinim of chatzitza work, is that if you have some external, some foreign substance on your body that you don't care about, you know what we call that on a daraisa level? We call that your body. It becomes you. Or if you have something, even if you do care about it, but it's only on a tiny part of the body, that just becomes you. And that is you. That becomes your body. So if one goes to the mikvah with those stitches, and the water only touches the stitches and does not touch the skin underneath the stitches, she goes with a band-aid and the water only touches the band-aid and not the skin underneath the band-aid, on a daraisa level, the water touched her entire body. Because the band-aid is her body. It's an extension of her body. Okay, that part I could buy, and now you have to like finish the sentence, right? And what about inside of her mouth? Masha'in came, bekartza sifso seha o kaftza yadeha v'chia gavna. If a woman, you know, closed her lips tightly, or clenched her fists, t'la mishum chatzitza asinu lei el mishum she'ena mayim ru'in lava l'tocha. That's not a chatzitza. There's no chatzitza. It's just that she didn't allow water to enter. And that's why tevila doesn't work. Even though it's only a small portion of the body. Because there's nothing to say it's like the guf, it's like the basar. It's herself, all of it. Meaning there's no foreign substance that you can say it became like the guf, it became like the basar. It's hard to understand because the kashas on him are so good that it's hard. Meaning, what's he trying to say? He's comparing apples to oranges, no? He's saying that when you have chatzitz on the outside of your body, so that becomes part of your body if it's only an amiut, or if it's a davashena makri, it just becomes part of your body. But when the Gemara says that you can't go to the mikvah with your lips clenched or your fists clenched, there is no foreign substance that I can touch up and say, oh, it's just become part of your body. It's just that you're not allowing water to touch the areas that it needs to touch. So when you have a chatzitz on the outside part of your body, it's touching everything. The water's touching everything that needs to touch. Because the band-aid has become your body. When you close your lips, you're just not letting the water in. That since I know that her tongue and her teeth and every part of the inside of her mouth and her lips are her body, but you've blocked any water from being able to come in. So that's why lo also lo tevila. Does it make any sense? No, I mean, right? You see the problem over here? Zichron Yosef, what would you say if she had stitches in her mouth? I mean, that's a foreign substance. And also, what's he saying? He's saying that she has to open her mouth? L'chara. Right? He seems like he's saying, oh, Kartza, what's the problem if she clenches her mouth really tight? Problem is that she's not letting water in her mouth. That's not a problem. A woman's allowed to go to the mikvah without letting water in her mouth. What's he even talking about? And that's what the Shira Tari. You have to look at the Zichron Yosef, see if we could be miyashiv. Because the Shira Tari says, v'kol dvarav ein nechonim. Nothing that he says is right. The reason that when she closes her, clenches her lips tight, it's not a good tevila, it's not because it creates chatzitza. There's no chatzitza. It's just that the water's not hitting her lips. Hine Haven, he understands that time shall cut said the law also the few Mishum Dali Dekwitzel. Zebasa Yashali Kone Samayu Tokabe. Zikri Yossi seems to be understanding that the problem is that the water won't enter the mouth. It needs to be as mine will be in base of storm, royal be as mine be inam. It needs to be at least royal be as mine. That's not called royal be as mine because water can't get in. And he says the truth is, if you look in the Rash in the 8th parak of Mikvaos, it sounds that way. And Tosos Nid the son of Zion sounds that way. Avalo Pirish Pirish Achim. But he says the more acceptable Pirish of what that means of Kartza Sipsoseha is the Kartza who dochak shedochaka Sipsoseha be Yoser. That when we say she can't like clench her lips tight, it means she shouldn't do like this. Where she's really closing her lips tight because not every part of the lip is a basal start. The outer part of the lips are gully, they're always exposed. No one walks around like this all day. You know, so it's always exposed. That's it. So if she does that, then she's gonna be blocking parts of the gullwy part of her body. Not just the base of starting. So what do they tell women when they go to the mikvah? They say make like the pouty face, right? They do, you know, like that. Good job. You tried it. Very good. So okay. Right, that's what they tell them to do. To make a face where the outer part of the lips are totally exposed, because otherwise you're covering the lips themselves. One second. Ulahai pirer shatami shum de mischasa basar achitzon. Ulu pirer se hiskem arash. Ukumosh kasev arash beis Yosef simenze dibra nasasar bepia. Vizel shon arayvid b'sefer bali nefesh b'shar tefila. I'll quote you arayvid. The arayvid writes. Mikan lamanu she'enus ha'isha tzricha liftoach pia b'shasa tefila. The high kafza yada kartzus of sa the mahadkalu cover. When you think about it, when she goes in with her fists clenched, what's the problem? It's that her palms, they're parts of her exposed, you know, gullwy part of the body that are not having water. Umishum chitu chasuf saim hanira shum mistater b'kritzasa. In Tomer, Shema, Bistimus, and Sasai, Mikpida, Mishnah, our Rabbi need to be a smaim, will be in a makam or oil to be a smaim. So the Rabbi says explicitly like this. In Partinura, Ulfiza, Hadamin, the storm, being a royal to be a smaim, Al Korklin, Hatzitza, Itmar, Shleisham, Dabra, Chotzitz, Badruku, Shasu, the Duchte, the Basel storm, Miut, Haguf, Vain, the Chotzitz, Minatora, Abilum, Makbilum. So he says, Zuchin Yosef seems to have misunderstood what Kartzis of Seh means. He thinks it means that it blocks water from coming inside the mouth and is therefore problematic. Most of you should assume it means that when she tightly closes her lips, she's just blocking the outer part of the mouth, and that's why there's a problem. But the inside of the mouth doesn't need B.S. Mayim anyway, and that's why he rejects the Zuchin Yosef. Yeah.
The way, I think, the Zuchin Yosef works really well with the Tosfot. If you don't want to accept the Tosfot, if you don't want to accept the Tosfot, then we have a problem with the Tosfot, because when Tosfot said, first of all, Tosfot's lashon is that she has to open her mouth. It doesn't say that she shouldn't do kamsasik patea. And then it says, so you either have to say that the sfatayim need to be right with biatmayim, but that can't be the case because they're gazer. They don't have to be right. They need to mamish have biatmayim. Alamai is talking about the inside of the mouth.
In Ochinami, it's a kashan tosis. But we don't pass like that tosis. What woman opens her mouth in the mikveh? And Zuchin Yosef is saying, I'm willing to pass like that tosis. She's got to open her mouth in the mikveh. And what is, the big kashan tosis is, then what do you mean you don't need B.S. Mayim? You're opening your mouth and you're having B.S. Mayim. Yeah, right? Meaning the whole point is, you don't need B.S. The Gemara says it needs to be royal B.S. Mayim, but you don't actually need B.S. Mayim. So how do you understand that tosis then, that she has to open her mouth? By opening her mouth, she's allowing water to flow in. But she doesn't have to be sure that the water has hit every crevice within her mouth. I mean, the water has gone through that area, and even if it didn't hit every spot in her mouth.
The Mishnah Rikvot, when it talks about the sera that's inside the mouth, indicates the same thing that Zuchin Yosef is trying to say, that even though it's a miyut she'ein lamak, the tip of her hair, who cares? Elamai, if inside her mouth, it's not considered to be inside the mikvah, because it's a totally different place. If it was a din chatzitzos, so who cares? The tip of her hair is inside of her mouth. But inside of her mouth, it's not.
No, because the hair is galui, so that makes sense. The hair is not going to have a B.S. Mayim if it's locked off from the water.
But if it's a din chatzitza, then it doesn't matter if it's mirchein lakbin.
No, there's din chatzitza of the mouth and chatzitza of the and lack of B.S. Mayim of the hair. I mean, those are two different elements over here.
If there's one knot in a woman's hair, she's inside the mikvah. So
okay, we'll get to that in a second.
Chatzitza. But if it's inside, she's
good,
inside.
Good, good. We'll get to that in a second. We'll get to the one not in a second.
Can you clarify again what the question is that the Afron were answering? Meaning, if you say a chatzitza and beza sterim
is daraisa, how could it ever be daraisa? It needs to be rubo makbid to be daraisa.
Wouldn't that just mean that that counts towards the total?
So comes along the Shiurei Torah and he says, Hakushime karalasa. What are they hacking? There's no kasha over here. He says, the kvar kusavur ambam, perik beis milts mikvos, halacha tesvav. The Rambam holds that hair is not viewed independent of the rest of the body when it comes to measuring the robe. Now when we say, call the Rabbis as a sayer, it means that hair is part of the body. But not that yet you look at robe of skin and robe of hair. And yet one knotted hair is going to be a chatzitza. How does that ever happen? When is one knotted hair ever going to be a robe? I forgot to mention, says the Shiurei Torah, the case is that she's going in a bathing suit into the mikveh. So she has a chatzitza on about half of her body. 49.99% of her body, there's a, I don't know if that counts these days, as a tzinius bathing suit, now, whatever it is, she has a chatzitza on whatever, 49.99999% of her body. And then that one kesher in her hair is going to push it over the top. Now she's at 50.00001% rove. So that's what it means over here also. That inside of her mouth, it's that she has a, chatzitzas on almost half of her body. And then it just pushes it over the top. It's a very passionate answer. So he then writes, Lufiza Mashkasa Besefra Nal Litarit, Adukasha, Maidim Bailil Lashas, with the Chilton Dapman Bays. Also, Malcolm Shalisha Blua have Yavosa Starm have the Mainaf Gamina, Kim Shatach Vela Chavrita Kazayas Nevela, Amelam Daf Gamina Lin Chatzitza, the base Starm Bina Raila Bias Mayim, Ashen Kim Blua. The Gemara discusses also Malcolm Shabi Isha, we have to discuss this also. Is it a base of Starm or is it Blua? This is huge Naf Gamina, because there is a type of birth control called a Nuva Ring. Familiar with Nuva Ring? Nuva Ring is like women sometimes. Different personalities, right? Just like men have different personalities, women also have different personalities. So some people are like very regimented, right? And they, if you tell them to take a birth control pill at the same time every day, at 8:02 and 33 seconds every night, they will take their birth control pill. Like they're very, very regimented, and they have perfect time with birth control pill, no problem with that. And then there are other people that are a little more sophisticated, So forget a birth control pill here and there. Half the time it'll be a nida because they'll be staining because they forget the pill. So they came up with an invention to help these people. It's called a Nuva Ring, right? A Nuva Ring is this, looks like a plastic ring. She inserts it vaginally and it slowly secretes all the hormones on a more steady basis than a pill is like one like burst of hormones a day. But this like very slowly over the course of time. You leave it in there for 3 or 4 weeks. And it's Kiilu, she's on the pill for 3 or 4 weeks. Then you take it out, and then she gets her period, and then a week later she puts in a new one. So, can she go to the mikveh with her Nuva ring in? By the time she goes to the mikveh, her ring is back in, because she wants to, if she's using birth control, it's going to work, she needs it there. So, can she go to the mikveh with the Nuva ring in? Or does she have to take it out before she goes to the mikveh? So this, Chaps and Afkamina, whether the Oso Makam is considered Balua, or is considered Pesach Starim. So the Gemara wants to know the main nafkamina whether it's below or base of service. Why don't we just say that nafkamina is chatzitza? It says v'tiris nichla lashas mev nafkamina b'dor raisa. Hashem came yavi avid nafkamina li nichatzitza lav nafkamina b'dorah banam. The base service and el miut haguf. So Zichron Yosef says, I know why the Gemara doesn't give nafkamina of chatzitza, because that would only be a nafkamina on a d'rah banam level, because it's always only a miut haguf. Meaning Zichron Yosef saying, look, if you're talking about actual stitches in the mouth, you're talking about an actual foreign substance inside the Beis HaStarim, so then at most it's going to be a chatzitza midrabanan. When you close your mouth, then you have a lack of bias mai midaraisa. But at most it's only going to be a chatzitza midrabanan. So says the Sidrei Taru, if you match a kasavti, nistraza. Deacon Afkamina b'Dereisa, the Mashal of the Rov HaGuf. What if you have 49.999% of the body that's otherwise covered with the chatitza, and now with the Nuva ring, it gets to 50.0001%. So now it's a Nafkamina b'Dereisa. So essentially, Sushitar is arguing with Zirkin Yosef, who said that a person who clenches their fist in the mikvah would be chatzitza midaraisa, because the entire reason of miyul is not midaraisa, is that it becomes bottle to the guf. But the guf cannot become bottle to itself. And therefore, he argues that if a person closes their lips tightly, the one lip covers the other, and that would be a daraisa problem. Shiri Tara disagrees, and he offers a different chiddush, that if 49% of the body had a chatzitza, the base of stardom can put that number over the top to make it a rov. So the base of star more daraisa, but it would not push to a rov if base star is only drabbanan. So the idea of base star daraisa is basically it's an accounting method. It's sorry to bring up the word accounting, but it's for some people that's like sensitive. But it's basically a way of measuring, but not that the base of star alone could have a real chatzitza midaraisa. That's the essential part of the Shirei Tara. So obviously we passing the women open their, women close their mouths in the mikvah, and we assume now whether it's Sarais and Drabban is pretty much irrelevant for us nowadays, because a woman is never going to have that situation where it's going to push her over the top, right? And even the Zichron Yosef agrees that she finds something in between her teeth, that that's only Midrabban, that's only a miyut. He only thinks that the closing of the mouth is a problem, but we close the mouth anyway. So, in the end of the day, la halacha, it's irrelevant. Every chatzitza that you find in the mouth is always going to be a chatzitza midrabanan, because women are not otherwise going with 49.99999% of their bodies covered. Right? So it's always going to be a chatzitza on the midrabanan level. Okay, we'll stop there because it's a good stopping point. Next time we'll have to work on defining makbid. How do we define what's called? We already discussed defining robe, robe of the body, robe of the hair, this and that. Now, so we'll discuss defining makbid on Wednesday. Ooh.